Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Picture this, a family from Florida moves to the Great White North. Imagine a young toddler awaking to his first snow, his face filled with wonder as he sees this enchanting magic falling from the sky. And let us build a snowman. And then the winter goes on and on. Turns out to be the longest winter in decades. The endlessness of the snowy winter, the barren trees, the gray skies linger, the icy black embankments. To a child, this season seems so long, if not even just permanent. He never knows that it will be anything other than this again. This is his new reality. He's pretty convinced that green has completely died and that there will be no escape from cold. He's not sure that it will ever, ever end. The parents announced to the child in March that the days will get longer and the sun will come out and green life will come out from the frozen ground. And just then, a major snowstorm hits. I wonder what passes through the toddler's mind. It sure doesn't look like it to me. But I'll have to take your word for it because I trust you. You see, we are like children to the living God who speaks a word of life to us that is hard for us to imagine from our limited perspective because pandemics come, sufferings come, death comes in our life. It's a topic that we want to avoid. It's a reality that creates fear. Constant images that dominate our imagination and our conversations these days. There's all kinds of death in this world, death of health, death of relationships, death of vocation, death of intellect, of wealth, of talents. Maybe you're going through a death of your own and it's painful. Maybe you're thinking, where's God in all this? Why did he let this happen? If so, it would take you right into the gospel lesson today that you just heard. Maybe we can identify with Mary and Martha and their situation who appealed to Jesus to come and heal their brother, but he didn't come right away and their brother dies. Jesus didn't respond the way that they expected. I mean, can you hear their frustration today? Both of them say, Jesus, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. And yet, Lazarus was raised despite their doubt. Perhaps no one standing by believed that anything different would happen. You know, that's the thing about belief. It's not if you believe, then God will act. It's because God acts, therefore we believe. Some proclaim in the church today that if you follow Jesus and have enough faith, the sickness will be gone and the material blessings will flow. We hear that a lot. But Jesus didn't tell us that. Though certainly Jesus has the power to heal, he taught us to prepare for persecutions and difficulties in this life as he himself headed towards the cross. Yet, he would promise to never leave us through all the difficulties and that there was so much more ahead of us that we couldn't see or biblically to say we couldn't understand. Yes, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but you need to remember Lazarus died again physically. Lazarus is raised, but Jesus is resurrected, which speaks of something that's still ahead that death cannot destroy. It's the final outcome of God's victory. The good news Jesus announces is about so much more than our individual lives, though it includes them. Jesus is not our personal genie to perpetuate a selfish lifestyle. The point is not Lazarus's little life, it is the glory of God. Jesus has come that we might know and believe that God is replacing the ways of the devil, of sin, and of death with the ways of God's eternal kingdom amidst the stench of this deathly world all around us. Like a parent to a child, Jesus teaches his disciples, your mind is on earthly things, not on heavenly things. Let me adjust your vision so that you might see and live in a new way. Paul tells us in Romans 6 to set our mind on the flesh. Well, that's death. Eventually, the things of this world fade. They reach their limits and they die. You see, the boneyard of our circumstances repeatedly tempts us to set our mind on the flesh. But we're invited today through Scripture by Paul to set the mind on the Spirit, which brings life and peace. Now, this is where we get the concept of repentance, metanoia, to completely turn our mind and our heart around to trust in the things of God and not the things of this world. Repentance. So it asks us today, the Scriptures, where is our ultimate trust? In earthly things that pass away, or in the promises of God, which are eternal and life-giving? We have a dead-raising God. While we were dead in our sin, Christ died so that we can live again, that is, live abundantly and live without fear. This is something that God will do for us that we cannot do for ourselves. When we are dead, we cannot say, I'm going to stop being dead. In the Old Testament lesson today, Ezekiel is looking at the brokenness and dry bones all around him. Son of man, can these dry bones live? Can these dry lives live? And he says something that's always wise to say, you know, Lord. What a week we've had. So much change and uncertainty and confusion. A desolate valley of bones may be an appropriate image for these days. The news, the valley of dry bones, they only emphasize what the Scriptures have proclaimed throughout time, that this is a broken and fallen world that we can't control, spiraling toward death. Yet through the breath of God's word, it is being transformed into birth pains, giving way to new life. So do we live in the flesh or in the Spirit, Paul asks today? Which do you ultimately trust in? Is death the final word or resurrection life? Jesus says today, not just to Martha, but to all of us, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Well, do we? If so, church, then in our current circumstances, prophesy to these bones, to the world, and say to them in our living, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, God will act, and you shall live, and you will know that I am God. God will open up your graves, and you will know that I am God. God gives his Spirit, and life happens. From dry bones in Ezekiel to Lazarus' tomb, God is saying, here's what I am doing, going to do. So when it does happen, you may believe and live. In Isaiah 44 and 45, God says, who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him announce what is yet to be. I am the first. I am the last. Besides me, there is no other God. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. God announces ahead of time, and it comes true. We see this throughout history. Don't take my word for it. Check it out for yourself. Look at the Bible. Look at the history. He's always been faithful. It's true. Ezekiel did call them out of exile, and they returned to Israel, and they are restored in relationship to God. And notice the dry bones are raised as a community. And why? To bring glory to God, to show God's faithfulness, that we might live believing what is promised for us ahead. Notice, like Samuel last week, Ezekiel obeys the word of the Lord, even though it appears impossible by all logic based on experience. When Jesus prays at the open tomb, he knows what will happen. He says it out loud, that those gathered might believe God sent Jesus. He knew all the way back with the disciples in the lesson today. Jesus says, this illness, this broken life does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. This is the gospel. At risk of his own life, Jesus willingly walks right up to the stench of our greatest threat, death. Jesus looks around at those in grief and weeps that creation is still in agony. And then Jesus raises Lazarus to show us that God came to save and not to condemn. To give new birth, like he told Nicodemus in chapter 3, to give living water, like he told the woman at the well in chapter 4, to give sight to the blind, as he did to the man in chapter 9, and to give life to the dead, as he does here in chapter 11. The powerful voice of God calls to the dead man by name, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus in Hebrew is Eliezer. It means one whom God helps. The Holy Spirit is our helper. It is Jesus who ends our dying and begins our living. The word and voice of God call us by name in our baptism. It says to us, put in your name, come out. Or as said by the African American church tradition, where the world places a period, God puts a comma. Suffering and death doesn't have the last word. Folks, we have a dead raising God. After commanding Lazarus to come out of the tomb, Jesus commands the crowd, unbind him and let him go. The community is invited to join in completing God's work of life in the Spirit. Through Jesus' completed work on the cross, we are unbound and set free to participate in the work of the resurrection that goes on into eternity. As we grow in God's word and the community, we begin to see the work and the harvest that is all around us in simple acts of love as Jesus loved us. Opportunities to unbind and to give and to forgive right in front of us, which sounds an awful lot like rattling bones and sinews and muscles coming together and breath being blown into the body of Christ by the hand and work of God. Jesus shows us the stench of death will go away. Yes, we will be raised on the last day, but also today in the Spirit. We can live in the hope and promise of that life today, which makes all the difference in our living. Our hope is not in ourselves, and it's not in our understanding, but in Jesus Christ alone to save us, to restore us, and to redeem us. And we pray, come, Holy Spirit, resurrect us to your life eternally today. And may the peace of God, which passes all of our understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.